long in CMOS sense. Okay, so usually we just mean solution. It can be of any theory, for any theory. And it needs to have string-like profile. I'll give a few minutes of an example and more exactly that. So generally there are two kinds of this kind of string, effective string. So one kind is an IR classical solution. Or if you want solid one. And then the effective theory of on string is just the description of fluctuation of these solid ones. Low line excitations around this solid one. Another kind of effective string may be valid for quantum string also, quantum state. On the string state. However, we must make sure that this string is long enough. And that's maybe less natural for a quantum string. I'll give you an example for that. But we can do that by many means. For example, by giving this string huge spinning energy so that it's stressed, or just holding its ends on some domain walls, or wrapping the string over some very large cycle. There are many ways to do that. But eventually, the formalism for both of them will be just identical. So won't make any difference between them. Okay, so let's see some typical examples. So, some examples. So, for this guy, the typical example will be the vortex solution. In the Higgs model at four dimensions, or any domain wall at three dimensions. Okay, so that's pretty simple. If you have in three dimension, 2 + 1 dimension, then if you have some vacuum here, and another vacuum here, then any domain wall will be string-like, will have a string-like profile. Now, notice that this string is not infinitely thin. It has some energy density profile, for example, of this kind. So it has some structure, it has some typical width, it has some structure. You can excite the string, not only the core, you can excite also the core, right? But you can also excite the structure, the inner structure of the string. Okay? So it's not fundamental or infinite thing. A typical example for this guy would be just the QCD flux tube. Or if you want, Q bar potential. Okay. So, let me just tell you what we assume. Or it's going to have. That these are the assumptions in our formalism.
Why the Q bar potential is thing like?
So you can think of this as a cosmological result, but we know that if you take the Q bar to be very, very well separated, then the flux between them is stretched but keeps confined to some.
This is the
small width
model.
Yeah, in confining mode.
In formal theory, it will not be so.
Yeah, no, not only in QCD or any confining mode. Of course. Yeah. So it's confined mode. Okay, so the assumption of this formalism, so we need to have approximate one dimensional string. We would like the string to be defined at the IR. So we don't demand the string to be defined all the way to the UV. We don't care about individual freedom. We only need the definition at the RR. And we assume that the string is stable. Or if you want, free, no interaction. So we just neglect any interaction. So both two kinds of interaction among strings. So for example, this is valid, for example, at large n, page theory, or at pure n wheels. Well, yeah, well, large n. And also, we neglect interactions with bulk fields. In particular, this is a valid assumption when there is a mask. So you'll see that we'll treat the string with description of massless boson bosons, and this description will be valid only if there is no other massless field in the bulk. Otherwise, we interact with the string of long range interaction. So we just neglect that and assume a mass is up in the bulk. And we also assume space time symmetries broken in certain pattern. Exactly define this part. So no. So let me give you some motivation for this work. Well, there are many motivations, in fact, quite clear, but just anyhow I will name a few. So of course, for me the main motivation is just curiosity, because as you say, it will have a very rich structure and we'll find many interesting results. Of course, this is a rather generic motivation. So now we have two kinds of motivation here, so either a clicked field or chronological, or theoretical. So on the addictive side, you can apply this formalism, for example, for cosmic strings, and as I mentioned before, for flux tubes. And on the theoretical side, I believe that it will help us to understand better some aspect of string quantization, quantum string theory. So you'll see we'll understand some very universal features of quantization of string, which I believe will be valid also for short string. So you see, if you want, there will be general lessons about the quantization of string, and some of them are still not completely solved. This will be a very interesting open question. Further, for the applicative side, you can compare with lattice measurement, lattice gauge theories. And in fact, this was the first original motivation for the subject, because people have computed for many years the Q-Q-bar potential on the lattice. And they found the result to be to fit perfectly with the Mugato. So even some people raise the option that Mugato is the dual string to Young Mills in four dimensions. So I think the original motivation for this project is to understand why the Mugato is such a good description for this spectrum that we get. And as you will see, of course, the Mugato is not a dual string of Young Mills, but we will see that it's the leading order contribution, and the next order contribution is very, very far ahead, so we just do not observe on lattice. And of course, last thing would be just ABCFT. You probably can add it to arbitrary motivation list, but also here we'll have some lessons about ABCFT, and we'll see maybe some new relations to better understand all relations between string and gauge fields. Okay. So let me say just a few words about philosophy. So what do you actually do? So from the bulk of view, you have some field configuration, so some IR field configuration, which is string-like. So, and alternatively, you can think of that as a IR, well, everything is defined in the IR, but as a one-dimensional string, well, sorry, as a thick string configuration. So, as I mentioned before, typically, this field configuration will have some typical width, and you can think of this as some thick string. So not only it has thickness, but it also has structural user field. So this thick string has inner or structural user field. But then from the Walshy point of view, you can think of this as a one-dimensional string plus some extra massive moves on the Walshy. So if you want the zero modes of the field theory correspond to the embedding coordinate of the one-dimensional string, then all the rest is just realized by massive modes on the Walshy. But then, since we are interested in the IR, then you can just very well integrate out all massive modes, then you are left with just one dimensional string with an effective action. So all, as in the usual way, all massive modes will be disappearing, we'll be left with just with many, many operators with high and higher orders to describe the string. Okay, so that's the philosophy of the work. The method, of course, I would just say like a couple of words. The method is very familiar. It's just the effective field theory approach. Weinberg. So we have either Wilsonian effect field theory or Weinberg effect field theory. In Wilsonian approach, we just integrate. We have a UV theory. We integrate it down as much as we like. Then we get some cutoff energy. Then we have effective action on this energy. The other method is just due to Weinberg. We don't know anything about the UV theory. We just guess the degree of freedom. So guess, not really guess, but kind of guess degrees of freedom, like degrees of freedom, and symmetries. Now, why it's not really a guess? Because usually this formalism is very useful when you have a symmetry breaking pattern. Then you have Boltzmann-Boltzmann with the symmetry breaking, so you actually know what are the line degrees of freedom. You assume all other degrees of freedom to be generically massive. And then also you have the symmetries and symmetry breaking pattern. So in that case, this formalism is very useful. So that would be the formalism that we use. And just notice that in this formalism, we don't really need to know anything about the UV user freedom. Just interesting. And also we just, I mean, we the only thing that we can get from this formalism is the universal part. Okay? Because we don't know, because it's so generic and model independent. We only can find the universal part. So we can find the universal part, but the non-universal is systematically parameterized. Okay? So that's what we will do. And then you can compare with actual model and see each model which parameter they give you. Okay, so let me just begin with showing you a very, very simple example. type of analogy, which I won't spend a lot of time on, you just mention it. So it's the same thing happens for example, for chiral symmetry breaking. So chiral symmetry breaking, where SCNF cross SCNF breaks between the angle group. There we have the Goldstone boson, which are just the pions. You can write the most general effective action of the pions. But then there is one crucial point which we will use heavily in our formalism. You see, when you write this effective action, it must be invariant under the explicit symmetry you're left with. However, it also needs to be invariant under the whole symmetry. But since this is broken, it will be realized non-linearly on this action. So you start by writing the most general action that you can write. For example, it looks something looks like the kinetic term. Then you have many, many more other terms. For example, the first term, this is the final k constant, looks like heuristically something like that. And then many other terms with some coefficients. You make sure that this is invariant, the most general thing is invariant under this group, but then you also need to take into account this part. So that the transformation of pi's under this are linear, but under these guys are non-linear. So these are non-linear. But if you know them, you can apply them on your action, and you get infinitely many constraints on the action. So you get that, for example, you will get that all the terms with two derivatives and many, many as much pions, all the coefficients in this series will be related only to f pi with specific number. Then you can resum this action and get the known action for the chiral perturbation theory, which is that just the two derivative of Lagrangian in the language of U. Okay? Where U is there. Is the field that is covariant under full group. And then you can add, of course, many, many more derivatives, and you can then people start working in this formalism and start just working in this one in the U's and get many, many more terms. Now, in this case, it's very easy because you have covariant field, U, which is covariant under the full group. So, you may just work with this field, and then you are you don't have subtleties about non-linearization of your group. So, however, you see in our case, we don't have this kind of view, or not exactly, and this will require much more work to resum this kind of series. So, this notice that we have here double expansion. We have expansion number of derivative and with number of Goldstone boson. In this case, the dimensionality is such that both derivatives and Goldstone bosons will contribute something like 1 over 5 and such, and then thus everything is suppressed. Both adding Goldstone boson and derivatives suppressing the order we're working with. In our case, it will be a little bit different because the Goldstone boson won't contribute a suppression, but the derivatives will. And let me just add one last remark, that this is almost the whole story, but there is just one crucial point left, which is the anomalies. So I won't get it here, probably it will be relevant for the discussion after lunch, but I just mentioned that if there are some anomalies at UV, they will be also need to be realized in the action, this action in the IR, and this will fix one single term, which is very important, and it will also fix its coefficient. Okay, that's the usual stuff with anomalies in effective action. Okay, so let me start by showing you how this is done practically.
Still have a few blackboards.
Yeah. Okay, So now we're going to build effect action. It will be an expansion, and you'll see in a second what. So it will be the derivative expansion. And let me show the first few terms. So the first term is just a constant. You'll see that this constant is just a string tension. And from here on, we'll just rescale everything with the string tension. And so this is L0. L2 will be just the kinetic term. Sorry, I didn't tell you what are the extras. Yeah, let me tell you about them. So, our symmetry breaking pattern is following. We have the translations, and then the Lorentz group. And we consider now a flat string, so just a two-dimensional wall sheet, a plane wall sheet, which stretched along time, and an additional coordinate. Okay? And then we break all other symmetries, so we break this into R11 on the wall sheet times SO11 on the wall sheet, Lorentz on the wall sheet, times SOV-2. Okay? So now, this breaking gives us Goldstone bosons, or the good Goldstone bosons. And these are just the x's for the embedded coordinate for this wall sheet in the transverse plane, the xi's. Now I goes from 2 to V minus 1. And they are just fields on the wall sheet. Okay? Generally, they are only massless fields. Now, when I write dot, I mean, so dot here means summing over I. Okay? So this would be just the first possible term to the derivative order. For the derivative, you'll have something of this kind. And square here means I contract alpha and beta, ladder alpha and beta. And then last order on the right is the following. C6 term. There is an additional term, which is right here, which is very important. We got the coefficient we call C4. There is D here, which is also important. Now, notice that There is also a double expansion. There is expansion in number of derivatives, which this is in fact the expansion that determines the order of the contribution. So we can show that eventually we'll need the effective action is the same action for any topology because it's local. But eventually we'll need to pick some topology to make computations. So for example, if we choose the cylinder topology with this length R here L, you will see, you can check that any derivative will scale either like 1 over R or like 1 over L. Okay, so it's a derivative expansion. But you can also define expansion is scaling, which is what we call two number of derivatives minus number of x's. So this scaling expansion is useful mainly for organization. So it will be very, very useful to organize the actions with also with scaling, and you'll see later why. Because it will be related to the resummation of this series. Okay, so notice that up to this order, everything here is of scaling zero. The number of derivatives equals the number of x's. And the first term that has scaling two is this guy. Okay? So now we want to do the same story as we did in biophysics. We want to impose the complete symmetry. So the complete symmetry is SO1 B minus 1 plus translation. Now, let me say, this part of translation is already taken care of by including only the derivatives on x's. So that's okay. But we also need to take the complete Lorentz symmetry, for example, rotating x1 with xi, or x0 with xi. So we need to impose the invariance of this action under these rotations. But, however, this rotation will be acting non-linearly on the axis. So you should find this. So you should find the way they act. That's pretty simple. That's the usual way. But now we need to add the gauge fixing. So this for example, is just this is just L sigma 1. And this is just sigma 1. So you see that, in fact, it seems this non-linear rotation on the x's seems like deformorphism, some kind of deformorphism. So from this you can compute, for example, a generic action on this guy, which was struck in that terms over there, and it looks like that. Class. So this is how the nonlinear transformation acts. And you see the nonlinear here. Okay, you have two x's. And now you just take this variation on this action, and what you get is pretty powerful. What you get is that many of your coefficients are constrained to a fixed value, similarly to quantum physics. So, for example, these values so in fact, you see that all coefficients in the Lagrangian are constrained, all but one, C4. This is rather powerful. So now you put this coefficient back into the action, and then you find out that you can resum the action to a very simple term. So this term looks like following. You can resum all but C4 term, and resum to the following action. Like that. But then you should recognize this term. This is just the Mugato action after gauge fitting in static gauge. So in fact, what we discovered, and then you can prove that to any order, you can prove that all scaling zero operators that you can write after you impose this nonlinear realization of the symmetry are uniquely determined by one coefficient, t. And you can resum the whole series to just get the Mugato. So now you see that there is a unique operator scaling zero, just in the Mugato Lagrangian. Okay? So you see how much power you get from this nonlinearization, an infinite number of constraints. Any questions?
Just feel free to
call me anytime. So if you want, this is the analog in quantum physics, the two derivative West Minor Lagrange, the d nu u dagger. So the analog to that is just the new Lagrange in this case.
This argument is basically equivalent if you had started with two extra fields and then you have some way through.
Yeah, very well. Yeah, so that's I'll mention that in a few seconds. But yeah, you're definitely right. We can, so that will be just the next session. Of course, that there is very natural. But what? Okay, you'll see some. The power of this method will be also possible for the next order in scaling, which is very unnatural or misunderstood, not well understood on that approach. But yeah, of course. Okay, let me just mention a few words about open strings. So the game there is the same game. We just write everything, most possible general Lagrangian that we can write, but not on the boundary. So we need to think. So this is all for closed string, but if we have open string, then we have also a boundary for manifold. Then you can also need to add some action, general action on the boundary. So you can take the boundary to be along sigma 0. And then you can write the most general Lagrangian, and it will look like that. Now, here you also need to take a boundary position. So you can take Dirichlet, and you can take Neumann or many others, but we all only treat simple ones, Dirichlet Neumann. So Dirichlet is just asking for that on the boundary, and Neumann for that. And for example, the Dirichlet case, you will get, we'll show you this example, we get these kind of actions. Now, of course, I'm jumping ahead, but I'm straying the details. But when you do the analysis with the boundary condition, equation of motion, I didn't mention that, but in effective field theories, you can put the equation of motion into the action. That's not the case in ordinary field theories. The reason is that you can show that the contribution that you neglect goes to the next order. Since it's schematically analyzed order by order, you can just push this contribution further. Okay, so that's very well known fact. And so this would look like that. The most general thing would look like that. Sorry, that's the three multiplications. And again, this will be scaling zero contribution. This will be the first scaling two contribution. And similarly, you can do the same thing for Neumann. This is the Neumann. We get similar things, just a little different, but similar. Now you apply the non-linearization as we did before, and again you get constraint on the coefficient. For example, here you get just as b1 equals b3 equals 0, this necessarily for Lorentz, and here you'll get that a1 is just mu over 2, and a3 is just minus mu over 8. So you see that in the Dirichlet case there is nothing really to sum up this order. So you have only scaling is zero, you have only single constant, nothing to resum yet. But for the Neumann, you can resum, you put this coefficient, and you can resum it to this action. Which is nothing but the free relativistic particle action on the boundary. There is a mu here. Okay? So you can add it in the Bogotá action, we call it Neumann and Bogotá. So if you have a Neumann and Bogotá string that is free to move and ends in trans plane, then you see that you need to add the mass term, well, the free particle action term on the bundle with mass mu. So we generated the mass for the endpoints of the string. Now it's not a mass in space, in the full space time, but it's mass in transverse time, okay? Okay, any question right now? Watch time. Okay, so that's more or less the first chapter. That's an analysis of static gauge. Let me just mention what else we know to do in static gauge, and I'll maybe say a few words later about the details, but not much. So then we have this action, and we know how to quantize it. I will say a few words later. We can quantize it in several ways and get different information from that ways. Eventually, we compute from that we compute the spectrum of the string, and then we can compare this spectrum with any case that we would like to check with. So it can be, for example, the ACFTs I will mention, it can be the last gauge theory, or anything else. But basically, the most interesting thing that we compute from that from this kind of action is the spectrum of this thing. Okay? So the second chapter is due to Kolchinsky-Schrödinger. Is the following. When you're computing, when you're building effective filters, you're also allowed to take as Gaussian bosons the direction that was not broken. Okay? So in this case, it means you can take the whole part of embedding coordinates to be your Gaussian bosons. However, because excitation in the direction of the wall chip are not physical. And so it means that you will always need to add reparameterization environments. For your action. I think that's what you suggested. And now you can work from here on, you can work as you wish. For example, you can work in the deep invariant formalism. So it means that you need to construct your terms by diff invariant or diff covariant items. So for example, here you will need to use the induced metric. Now dot, I change now dot equal sum of mu. So this guy, and you also have what we call extrinsic curvature, which I won't get into, but it's a feature of the way that the wall sheet is embedded in space-time. Okay, it has nothing to do with metric. Okay, so we can work with that, and here it's almost trivial that the first term you can write is just number two, but the scaling two term seems to be vanishing. So there is no scaling two term. So the only thing I can write, well, not exactly, but the thing that you would like to write is that, but that's topological. You can also consider building things with the extreme curvature, but I won't get it. Okay? However, we don't find what we need to find for that. So there is some problem with this formalism, which is not yet understood. Now let me just jump ahead and say just a hint for that reason is because this term, as I'll explain later, we believe is related to the anomaly. However, the anomaly in this diff invariant formalism is not very trivial. The reason is that, well, you do not know how the anomaly acts in the Nabokov formalism. In the Polyakov formalism, Polyakov showed the anomaly is compensated by this kind of term. Okay? So, Ochinsky and Strominger just suggested that it might be the case that the Mugurto string will have a similar anomaly, but just replacing R of the inner metric by R of the induced metric. That was the suggestion. It seems to work as I will explain. But it gives you an additional question, because, for example, in conformal gauge, this gives you what I will describe in a few minutes, but in static gauge, it is not understood. How you study gauge this, how you study, how you fix this gauge by static gauge this term. Okay? So that's why the different manifold is a little problematic. Then you can make a static gauge fixing that theory, meaning choosing this physical, aligning the Wachter coordinate with your two of your space time coordinate, but that just gives you back to what we found here. Okay? Another option is to use what we call conformal. I will spend the next 10 minutes or so to explain this, this story of conformal age.
There's another book.
Okay. So what is conformal gauge in a multiformalism first? So in the polyconformalism, we have an inner metric. The conformal gauge is defined by taking the inner metric to be proportional, conformally conformal to the flat metric. That's conformal gauge. And you can see that this is equivalent to taking G. Now we move to Lyapunov coordinate. And you can check that this is just equivalent to taking G plus plus equal G minus minus equals 0. So now it's that in the Mugurto, conformal gauge will be defined by taking the induced metric to satisfy these relations. Where now the metric is just oh, and again this dot now is new, psi bar new. So this will be the definition for conformal gauge in the Mugurto. So now you'd like to write the following thing. Write the most general action. And you need to impose this constraint on the action. And you also need to add, or I didn't tell you, after imposing this this gauge, your action is necessarily, well, this gauge fixing, this gauge fixing is invariant under conformal transformation. So it means that any action that you write in this form will need to be conformal invariant. And this conformal symmetry is a subgroup. This is different from the polyconformalism. This conformal symmetry is a subgroup of the diffeomorphism of representation. So it means that it needs to be gauged. You must gauge it. And that means that you must demand for the central charge to vanish. And also for the Virasoro constraint on Hilbert space to vanish. So for this demand will take care for them later, but already classically, you need to demand to have the operators with the correct weight, okay, the classical weight. So that means that since you have B to sigma in your action, it means that anything that is written here need to having weight 1, 1. Okay? And that means since X's doesn't have weight, it means that, well, weight 0, it means that you need to have 1 D plus and 1 D minus. But it seems pretty sad because there's only single term on the right, which is just following. and this is nothing but the Mukto action. So there's only one turn at the right, so it seems to be doomed. It's still, this effect seems to be doomed, but there is a remedy for that, which is the following. Wojcinski's imager noticed that you are allowed, since you are expanding a long string extension, you are allowed to have single operators. As long to get the regular upon expansion. And you can see that that means that you can have now a fraction of operators. But the demand is that this one will have large value. So then this operator would have a good expansion around the classical solution, which I will show you. And when you check which operators have large value, there are only the Z operator, I didn't define that yet. But the Z is just D plus S dot D minus S, just in the Mukto Lagrangian. So we can only have powers of Z in the denominator. But that gives you a large amount of flexibility. Now we can have powers of Z here, but now we can also have many more terms here, because now the weights 1, 1 need to be of both of them. So it means that we need to have 1 D plus and 1 D minus here more than here. So it gives you infinitely many more. And for example, we can show that let me mention just the order, how you order terms here. So for that, we need to understand what is the classical solution, this series. So you can prove that there is one family of classical solution, which looks like that. Only without knowing what is the Lagrangian, only by asking for the conformality and for this pH fixing, we put the most general solution to look like that. Some function sigma plus, some vector here in space time, and similar for minus. And now you see that sigma plus and minus goes in the usual fashion, perform transformation. And that means that you can pick, for example, from this, you can pick a simple solution, which is just that. There is also a constraint here on the vectors. This is a constraint. And that, this constraint is coming from the fact that we would like the string to wrap a large dimension. So it's of the demand. So this is just a periodicity in demand, and from this you get this strength, and that you can pick a single solution. With specific keys, which are just that. So now this solution, if you choose one solution, it breaks the whole conformal group, also breaks Lorentz. Now we're going to expand around these solutions. And you see why is important for my stage now, because you see by that generically dx is of order r. Okay, but be n of x for any n larger than 1, order 1. So that's how we order the operators. And also over that, you can see that the z is the only possible operator allowed by the gauge fitting and having large bears. So you can prove the following result. So it seems that the Nambu-Goto action is of order r squared. However, you can check that the first term is just constant, and then the second term is just order of the derivative. So it means that L Nambu-Goto is just order r to the power of 0. You can classify all possible operators and see there is no operator with order, no other operator. So that's okay, so that's unique. There's no other operator that r to the power of 0. Then the next operator, the power minus 2, is unique, and you can write it unique, or by integration of power, you can also write it like that. Okay. So that's a unique term in that efficiency. Let me now just spare you a lot of details and just tell you what we get from that operator. So there are several issues here. One, we can ask for conformal invariance at the quantum level. As I said before, that means that you need to take the central charge to be zero, and then also to demand for the Bersaud constraints. This will make beta to get specific unit value, 26 minus d over 12. There's a pi here, I'm not sure. And the Virasoro will make only transfers, only physical degrees of freedom will be left. Okay? Now, you see, this factor is exactly the factor that Polyakov gets in his own mechanism with the inner metric. So it seems perfectly fitting with the anomaly mechanism in Polyakov case. So that's nice. Another thing is that you can understand this action directly from the Polyakov anomaly mechanism if you believe in this analogy. Why? The Polyakov anomaly mechanism just gives you the UV action, something like that. Some coefficients here. Oh, why are you this? This equation. The phi is just the if e of phi. I mean, phi is just the. E of phi is just the same formal coefficients in front of the matrix. Yeah, log of z. So that's what Polyakov finds after analyzing the measure and anomalies in Polyakov formalism. He gets that if you go to non-critical, of course in critical dimensions, and there is a coefficient here that Polyakov writes, it's something like that, 48 in these equations. So that's the coefficient he gets. Of course in the critical dimension, the result is that there is no anomaly, while simply is good symmetry, you can gauge it up. Can divide by this group. However, in non-critical dimension, it's often said that the wild symmetry is broken, but I think it's better to say that the wild symmetry cross the conformal part of Diffeos together, they are broken. And it means that you cannot then divide by them in the path integral. And when you leave this degree of freedom undivided, I mean, when you don't gauge it, that's exactly what you're left with for the effective action. So now what Kuczynski and Strunjar have guessed is that you can take this phi and replace it, or E phi, E to the phi, and replace it with Z. But Z now from the induced vector over there. And when you do that, and just modify this definition from U, you get exactly this term. And with exactly the same coefficient. So it seems all perfectly fit in the unknown mechanism. So what can you do with this theory? Again, you compute the spectrum.
Sorry, but what's mu? What mu becomes?
The definition, we need to replace mu squared with t over beta, I think.
I use the leading term.
Yeah, then you get, Okay, so again, you need to quantize this theory. Now, let me remark on the powerful having various approaches or various formulas for the same theory. That, for example, the spectrum to compute in study gauge is very easy. But then normally we just don't see it at all. And I will mention that in the last 5 minutes. But in conformal gauge, the norm is almost trivial. However, the computations are rather lengthy in that case when you go to high order. So let me say a few words on the anomaly, and then I will tell you what is the desired computation here. So the problem is that in study gauge, you cannot see the anomaly. However, I'll just say a few words on the chapter that I will totally skip, which is that then you take this formalism, you want to compare it with actual data. So there are three kinds of data that you can compare with. The three kinds of comparison you can make. I'll just mention them without saying anything about it. So you can compare with a leaky couple. Theory, which admits a R solution which is string-like, you can make a change variable to compute the effective action and to compare with our result. So that was done, but it's a very subtle procedure. There is not much agreement in the literature. The second thing you can do is to compare with lattice gauge theories, where people have computing the spectrum. You can compare it with our spectrum, and you see a perfect matching. However, the problem is that the interesting stuff begins at 1 over r to the fifth, which is quite beyond what they can probe. So they start now to see a little bit of that, but it will probably take a few more years to actually measure. For example, notice the nice thing. If you get to measure these corrections, in last series, you can measure the coefficient 1.6 minus d. And you can actually measure in Young Mills this coefficient, which is quite nice. So, but this is a little bit beyond today's technology.
Is it easier to do 3D eigenmodel?
They do that. Yeah, that's true for any. So, okay, so they do both. They do, I didn't say that, but some groups do Young Mills, some groups do 3D Ising model, percolation models. But okay, the problem with the 3D dimensional models is that you can prove that this term, the anomaly term, vanishes for B for 3. So they see everything but the anomaly term.
Why isn't it just replacing B by 3?
So for the coefficient doesn't vanish. The contribution, the energy vanishes. So the energy at this order goes like B minus 2. And we understand that from first principle. I mean, you can see that from logic that we also understand that. So the last place to compare with is ABCT. This is a whole topic which I won't get into, but we take this string, we take a string in ABS. So let's make a main string, but for example, we can have ABS-like geometry, which is cut off at the bottom of the geometry, so it's confining. We can have two degrees here, then stretching a long string between them. I didn't mention that at all, which is by itself a very interesting topic. Now, this also admits an effective action, because you see here, the curve coordinates are the analog thing of the structural massive coordinates for the gauge shape, the thickness. So here there is no thickness, but there are curve coordinates. This is one the dual. Curve radial coordinates are dual to thickness of strings. Okay? That's less than kind of skip. But then if you compute the effective action on this string, you can say that it perfectly matches with all predictions that we get. But also a nice thing that when you can compute this formalism, you can actually compute C4 for infinitely many AD for many consistent ADCFTs. And what we find is the result. All of them give the same coefficient, which is 26 minus D. Well, it depends on the notation, but overall, that factor. So this suggests for conjecture. So now the conjecture is that C4 term is the analogous term, or is the first term in a series, which is analogous to this D plus Z, D minus Z over Z squared term, the anomaly term. So that's the conjecture. So it's supported by the universality of the coefficient, which is phonologically measured in ABCFT. Well, of course, it's not universal, but it seems to work for all possible cases. And now there will be a great support to this conjecture if we compute the energy corrections coming from this beta term. So from this beta term up to order r to the minus 5. But as I said, this computation in conformal gauge is rather complicated. So in fact, that's what we have done in the last 6 months, and we just completed now, in fact, and we need to close just some consistency checks, but it seems that it does work. So the contribution to the spectrum from that term here exactly matches the contribution from the C4 term here. So that again suggests that support the conjecture for the anomaly. And now an interesting question would be to relate this, to write all possible scaling two terms, which are again, and then to sum them up and to see how the anomaly, which is probably the scaling two unique operator after resummation, how it comes about in the static gauge. This is not in this tool. And let me just end with some open questions, and we'll be interested in that. So, the most interesting thing one can understand from that lesson is how anomaly works. In conformal gauge, it's very well understood that anomaly is just in the conformal group, which is a subgroup of diffs. Okay? But in static gauge, it's not understood, nor in the diff invariant approach. So no one understands anomaly in the Buddha formalism. For example, in static gauge, what is anomalous? I mean, these flows were already fixed. So what is anomalous? Lorentz, maybe? So, similarly to the fact that no one understands anomaly in a group of formalism, we do not understand non-critical string. In a group of formalism. And that's related to the same problem. Okay? So another goal would be to understand that. So application I mentioned, you can apply that cosmic string. You can apply that to high spin mesons, which are again very long because of the spin energy. Although for that you'll need a little bit to modify our formalism. It's doable easily. And see some more. Yeah, of course you can generalize the supersymmetric strings, which means that we have additional massless degrees of freedom and fermions, which are fermions, you can work out many different gauges. These are two gauges. We can work many other gauges. Maybe you can find interpolating gauge between those two. And let me just remark that, I mean, to me, the most interesting thing in this is the lesson for general quantization of strings. So for example, this anomaly issue, I don't think it's related to long strings. I mean, of course, you see that, well, when the string is infinite, the anomaly issue just disappears, as was proven many years ago. But for any finite length string, you have an anomaly, and I think the anomaly is universal. So it doesn't depend on the details of long strings. It's a lesson also for short strings. That would be, I think, the most interesting lesson out of this. And also, the ABCT lesson is very interesting because we try now to understand a better relation between the thickness of the string and the radial coordinate, make more quantitative relation. So with this, let me just add.
So, other questions?
I didn't quite understand. So what happens if you just naively put the polar over normal term and you put the static gauge?
So the problem is that South Koreans well understood how to put here one over a box, to put static gauge in one over a box. It's more the reasoning for how it works, because you can show that R is a box of something. After fixing a Conway gauge. No box, I mean, it's not anymore box, but yeah. So then this is just trivially go to that term. And the static gauge is not well understood how to do that. So it was done heuristically, and it seems to give the right thing. But the question is whether you can have, if you write a local term for the anomaly. For example, that's a question which I hope to answer in the near future. So whether you can write a local term for the anomaly, which, for example, you can expect that with this local term, you will have a connection which is local, but it can be the case that this is not different variant. Because you see, in conformal gauge, the anomaly is in conformal group. But the conformal group is a subgroup of diffs. So it means that in different variant approach, the anomaly is in diffs, right? But then it means, what it means? It means that the action of Namu Goto is classically different variant, but fundamentally it's not different variant. Now, in contrast, there is a very big difference from this to Polyakov. In Polyakov, there was an inner metric, GAB, which you use, and then there are diffs working, and NY working on that. And you use diff and Y, and you got rid of it. However, it tells you that this diff cross Y is anomalous, and it means that you cannot really get rid of that. Then you're left with an additional field, phi. But this phi is not an additional field to the theory, it's just a remnant of G. AB. Now in our case, we don't have that, so we don't expect a new field to arise. It just means that this is anomaly, so this just means that S Namu Goto is not different variant, quantum mechanically. But what we expect is that you can write an additional term, and they are together invariant quantum mechanical other diffs. However, you can expect from general argument and knowledge, you can expect that while this is not invariant quantum mechanically, a quantum loop, this won't be invariant already classical level. So that's quite hard to find this term because you don't know really where to start looking for it.
This one looks different.
Which?
It's the term that you know.
This one? Different variant? This is only after static gauge, so there is no more diff representation left. So it's not known how to write this anomaly term such that will compensate for the anomaly. And the theory will be consistent in any dimension. And this will be very interesting also for from logical consequences of string, for example, QCD. Because it will have to have this kind of term, so it's a must.
No other questions, let's thank you.
This coming for the conference.
How do you relate?
Well, that's the young one.
Okay. Thanks.